Okay. You can start whenever you want.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not too far behind. Okay. Can everyone hear online?
Yes.
Ready to July 2nd, 2024 town council meeting. I cannot believe we're in July already. This year has just flown. I'm just amazed. Anyway, welcome everybody. And
Before you go any further, hang on, it stopped again.
okay. All right, we do have a quorum tonight. Josh is on Zoom. Gladys and Ray and Judy and John are here. So we have five of us and we have a quorum. So the first thing we will do tonight is the Pledge of Allegiance. If everybody will stand and face the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, next is approving the agenda.
Mayor, real quick point of order on this. I'd like the record to note that we had an issue with the prop notice getting posted on the Utah Public Meeting website. I believe that Jessica was acting in good faith and would consider that basically a typographical type error.
Yeah, it was right everywhere else.
But I did want to just to
Yeah,
say, since
that's
I
good.
had the record show that we did mention it and we are aware.
All right, that's good, John. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so now we will approve the agenda. The one thing that I would like to do is switch 9 and 8 around so that we have the executive session for the town clerk's position and then the town clerk position after that, so that we can vote on it. So, do we have any objections to any of that?
Not to that. I'd also like to suggest that we move item 15, the RV discussion, ahead of items 11 through 14.
So, you don't want the RV?
So I want the RV to be the
After 9?
after 10.
After 10.
Before the
Why is
boulder
that?
things.
Just that by time, so it doesn't come up right at the end of the meeting and we're all tired and we're discussing something complicated.
Okay, well, my idea on that, remember I told you if by chance we don't get through this, which I think we're gonna tonight, I think this is gonna fail, that the RV ordinance would get pushed because we are not going past 10 o'clock. One way or the other. So that's why I left it working. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's switch 8 and 9 around. And other than that, Doc, you got anything? Okay. All right. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda with the corrections.
Gladys will make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say no.
Josh.
Aye.
John,
Josh.
aye.
Ray, aye. Go ahead, Josh.
Josh, aye. And I'll, how about I start since I'm on Zoom? We've been doing that when we do the approvals moving forward. That way we don't forget me.
Glad you already said aye, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Judy, aye. So the agenda is approved, correct? The only conflict of interest, well, I don't know if anybody has conflict of interest of disclosure besides me. Does anyone have a conflict of interest?
I might have if we're discussing town clerk position because I am related to Jessica. So,
Well, I think as long as you're disclosing it, I think it'll be
okay.
okay.
I need to speak up. I think whenever we talk about anything RV, I potentially have a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Possibly I do too.
So you don't think you can be unbiased in this?
No, they're just disclosing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so it's just a disclosure. Okay. Yeah. Very good. And I'm Randy Fan, so we got it all out on the table. All right. Now we're going to approve the minutes. And we have April, May, and June to approve. We've gone through them. I was with Jessica today when everybody was making the corrections. And so we're going to take April 1st. So I will entertain a motion to approve the April minutes with the corrections that were made.
I will move to approve the April minutes with the corrections made online.
I'll second it.
All in favor of approving the April minutes with the corrections online, say aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye. Ray, aye.
Judy, aye. All right, we'll move on to May. I'll entertain a motion to approve the May the same way.
Okay, I will move to approve the May minutes with the corrections made online.
Gladys will second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye. Ray, aye.
Judy, aye. We will move to the June minutes. I'll entertain a motion same way.
I want to make, so I'm bringing them up right now just so you can kind of see. Josh, actually, maybe if you want to bring up the June minutes.
Okay.
This note by John, I think either we need to wait to approve them, or if Josh, if you can clear this up and we can fix those right now. If not, we'll wait. It's on page 5. And we just want to make sure that those numbers are correct.
Let's see. I was shooting to fill our revenue gap, so it was a $20,000 more in revenue because that was our budget gap this year. And I don't remember if it's 8 to 15, but that
say what you would like it to say also. You don't just have to change the numbers.
I think it would be best to say a rate increase and then delete the percent, which would bring in like that, because those number, the 8 and 15, 11 point, that's very confusing because that's as a percentage of our total tax rate, and it, that makes no sense. So I think just, yeah, fix it. There you go. Yep.
Okay.
You feel okay about that one?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so sorry, that was the only thing. So now if you guys are, all the other edits were.
Okay, I will move to approve the June minutes as corrected online and tonight on the screen.
Gladys will second.
All those in favor of approving the June minutes with corrections online, say aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye. Ray, aye.
Judy, aye. All right. The minutes are over, done, brought up to speed. We're in good shape. Next, department reports. Josh, I'll start with you.
Okay. Landfill, I haven't connected with Cindy, so I need to do that. I don't have any updates there. I need to respond to the letter that we got from the state auditor, landfill auditor. I'm going to add that to my list to call next week. Jessica's Dave Dodds at the county level, they're dealing with the same issues we are. So some of this is dependent on them. Jessica's been in touch with him, which is nice. So let's see, that's all there. Sorry, let me add a note real quick here. Okay, that's landfill. Fire department, EMT, we had a call, woke up to a call at like 6:15 in the morning a few days ago. A guy drove off, fortunately, the uphill side of the road and was uninjured, but he pretty well totaled his Jeep right by the dump. Really good spot, actually, to run off the road if you're going to pick one around here. No injuries, but Escalante responded. We also responded to an aid call in Escalante over at, Yonder / Oveland. There was some kind of a fire there. I'm not sure how it started, but it got into the bushes down by the river. So we ran aid to Escalante Fire Department on that one, like a week ago now, maybe. Heather has been kind of digging into the EMT thing, which is really cool. And she reached out to the online Utah EMT out of that list that I came up with, this winter. And basically they, as far as I could tell, they agreed to come down and teach the in-person portion of the class in Boulder for no extra charge, which is pretty rad. So that means we could have a full EMT class without having to leave Boulder. We would need 6 people minimum. So that might be a barrier. I talked to Escalante at the Yonder call and they just had someone trained. They don't have anyone interested. So it might be something we should reach out to Wayne County too, but it's kind of a longer term thing. I feel like we really need to get folks even just used to responding to calls, used to getting pages and get them some exposure to what it means to be an EMT in Boulder, which is both remote and infrequent, and that kind of adds to the intensity. So this is kind of related to that whole paging county thing with the sheriff's department, in that which is still ongoing between the county and the software provider, service provider. So basically, once we have the ability to manage our own paging, like who's on the list and who isn't, and that sort of thing, then I would like to get folks who are interested in being an EMT on the list, and we'll have to figure out, what that looks like for them responding, but just get them used to showing up to a scene, and they could potentially start doing training to drive the ambulance or whatever, that sort of thing. So, I mean, we don't have an ambulance right now, but there's still, we would if we had enough EMTs. So that's a big conversation that's in progress with a bunch of people in the community, and I'm trying to figure out how to both make it work well for the town and for the folks who are engaged and involved. But I do think at this point, to do the EMT thing in town again, we need a whole cohort of people to kind of storm in at once. Adding one more person is not going to be super effective or helpful, and it'll probably just burn them out. So trying to get a group of people together, and then get them prepped and kind of, prepared a little bit for the experience before the training even begins, So anyway, that's exciting. I want to thank Heather for following that through and reaching out to folks. And I want to continue that conversation. Wildfire counselor, I did not touch base with Judith before this meeting. So Judith, I apologize for that. I did look over Hatch's emergency operating plan, which is strikingly similar to ours, but much more well-written, so that I could see what the actual intent of ours was, because you could read Hatch's and it's like, oh, this is kind of more like a procedure. So I am chipping away at that as well. Let's see. I think that's all for me.
Thanks, Josh. Good. Glad.
Okay, we do not have travel counsel during the summer months. I don't think I have anything on the cemetery or the building. Just want to clarify, I assume you want flags up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's no, I haven't been able to find any protocol online. I just didn't know about having it up Wednesday too, even though we were starting celebration on Wednesday. I just figured maybe it'd be better to do it Thursday morning through. I'll take them down Sunday night.
Cool.
Okay, that's all.
Were you going to report on the 4th?
I think that unless somebody has any questions, I think everything's going along fairly well with the glitches we've had, but I think everything's
okay. Well, I think
everything's coming together.
Okay.
All right,
John.
Okay, real quick, nothing on the Arts Council. I did ask Cheryl and she didn't have anything. On the roads, I want to really thank Don and Katie Coleman for doing a good job taking care of that pipeline under 200 North and then fixing the street afterwards, including some subsequent rain damage. Talked to Jessica about my being more in the loop on things like road material purchases, so I will be doing that. And I've created a log of past and pending projects, which I've now put on the website just under the on the Google Docs. We'll figure out where it belongs, but I'll periodically keep that updated. So when someone complains about a pothole or something, we've got a way to remember. And planning, Nancy will be talking here in a minute on that, so that she'll cover planning.
Okay, right.
So no items with library or ordinance enforcement per se. I did have a conversation with Pam Furches with the tree committee. They want to go ahead and remove the two dying or dead trees. And I told them I thought that would be fine, but would like, as a town, some kind of plan to replace those from the tree committee. And she said she would get that to us.
Okay. All right. I didn't go to the county. They only had two CUPs, so I got out this time. I had an appointment I had to take care of. I talked to Bree. She came into Hills the other day, and they were just finishing up. They're finishing up stuff that they have going in, and they're going to attack the tree in the park and get that all taken. I suspect that will be happening anytime. And I confess, Pam did send me the message about the minutes for the tree thing, but I forgot to look at it. I was so busy reading other things. Dan, is there anything you'd like to add? So it was a good meeting.
Very solid.
Are they counting trees? Are they getting the trees counted, the new ones?
They're waiting to hear from the guy over in Cedar to come over and do the survey.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So that's going to happen pretty soon, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like all right. So now we'll have public comments, 3 minutes each. You can't give your time to another person. Do we have any public comments? It's open for public comments.
Yes.
It is.
I have a comment and I can't raise my hand. I don't know where to find that icon.
Dan's going, then Jennifer, you can go.
Okay, great. Oh wait. Let me know when it's time.
Okay.
Okay. Dan Pence, and I'd like to talk about the RV. Specifically about the 90-day stay limit. And I thought we had dealt with this in April, so I looked up my notes, and I really have the same comments now as I had then. There are already people living in RVs in Boulder, have been, and haven't heard that there's a problem. So that's the first thing. Then I have three questions. How will the 90-day time limit be helpful to this community? Second thing is, who will enforce the 90-day limit? Do we want neighbors, ratting out neighbors, keeping track of someone who's staying in there, which I don't think is something we want to get into here in town? And the last question I had was, how is a 90-day limit in Boulder's best interest if we are desperately trying to create housing? So that's what I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be addressing that, by the way. Jennifer?
Okay, hi, this is Jen Bach. I'm just commenting also on the RV discussion. I'm a little curious if we're just picking up where we left off at the last time it was discussed a few meetings ago, wondering how much something can change after a public hearing before it needs a second public hearing. As far as the 90-day time limit, I can see how there's concern about that. But on the flip side, I can see how more than a 90-day time limit might encourage people to simply set up an RV and live here seasonally and not really be part of the community and not really, it wouldn't really encourage housing, proper housing. So anyway, I just feel like the more convoluted it gets, the more likely we should probably try to have another public hearing to gauge where the public stands as you evolve this discussion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have a couple of comments? Okay, Jennifer.
Thank you. Careful, that cord. Oh, you did.
Just a little button, so it turns on green.
Yeah. So is it on now?
No. It's on now. Jennifer, Gearless, thank you for letting me comment also about the RV. I just want to let you know that I have co-workers at HBG who take advantage of using an RV to stay here for the season, and I think it's a worthwhile thing that they have an opportunity to do that. The other thing is that I guess I did want to just comment quickly on Jen Bach's comment. I don't see that living in an RV is going to encourage or discourage anybody from being involved in the community. We already know people now who live here full-time for many, many years who are not particularly involved in the community. It doesn't seem like how you live is going to influence whether or not you're going to be involved in the community. People have come through that have stayed a short time and suddenly gotten involved in our 4th of July or whatever. I just don't think that where you live and for how long is going to determine whether or not you're involved in the community. Then the other thing is, I guess I don't understand the concern about a longer term when we have people all over the United States who live in their RVs full time all year. The only difference is that they travel. They travel from one place to another, but they're living in their RV full time. And so for us to say that you can't live in an RV because you're only living here for part of the time, it doesn't really logically make sense to me as to why that would be a concern to us, especially when I don't really see that there is an issue right now with people who are in RVs. Not that I know very many, but I just don't see why that would be of an issue. And again, I just think the other thing is that what I've observed with some seasonal people that have worked here is that to give them a chance to live here, even if it's for a season, allows them the opportunity to decide whether or not they want to make this a full-time place. And many have. We have people here that have, you know, lived very seasonally, and then they say, I want to stay full-time. But if they don't have that opportunity to stay here for longer than 3 months, which isn't even enough time to be in a seasonal job, how will they know whether or not they really want to make Boulder their home? It's a great first step. So I would encourage you to be more expansive in your understanding of housing. And I think that RVs for longer than more into the 270-day seasonal time makes a lot of sense. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
Blake Spalding, hi. I want to just say that I don't think the 90-day thing makes sense when the school season and the tourist season both run longer. But maybe there could be a thing like where you do a 90 and a 90 and a 90. So you're not just applying for one permit for 270 days, but you can break it out. The other thing I want to point out is I have a new employee who is pursuing being an EMT. She's certified. She lives in a trailer on my farm. Our other EMT, Karen, who came to work for us, well, she lived in a trailer for quite a while. Then she found a place to rent, but it's hard to find a place to rent until you live here in a trailer. And that's the pathway forward for most of the people that have moved here to work for us that have been able to stay, is they start in some version of a trailer, their own, or one that like we have for them. And then they figure out, nobody necessarily wants to live in an RV or a trailer, but I think they have to start there and then figure out housing because it's so hard to find here. And so that's the one thing. And then I guess, you know, we're halfway through the season, so it'd be really cool if we could hurry up and get this figured out. And then my last thing is, like, it seems a little bit different people on private property living in RVs, because that's already happening everywhere. And then commercial properties with RVs is less the thing. But, you know, I think almost all of us have RVs on our properties or have lived in RVs. You know, everybody in town is trying to figure out how to make it work. So why not just us be cool about it? And then if there's a problem, you know, I've learned with my restaurant, if you are managing for the least common denominator, like let's say you have one problematic employee, but you're making rules to solve for that problematic employee, you're doing a disservice to all the great employees. So it's really much more effective and loving to figure out how to deal with your one problematic person than to make a rule to preclude the possibility of a problematic person. That makes sense. Lastly, I just finally sent the paperwork, but I'm really excited that we're hosting the 4th of July, our Interdependence Day, 3rd of July ice cream social and talent showdown. There's been a lot of enthusiasm. We have a great panel of judges, so I hope to see everybody. We were looking at the pictures from 2018 and have so many handsome pictures of Dell and cutie pie pictures of kids that are now quite big, and it's just, we're happy about it. So we hope we'll see you all there. Thanks so much. Thanks for hearing me out.
Susan Heaton, I'm commenting on behalf of Boulder Mountain Lodge about the RV ordinance, obviously. So this has been going on for quite a while, and we were actually hoping to have it solved before the season started, and that didn't happen. And it seems like it just keeps getting put off. And even when it was on the agenda last time, they didn't talk about it. So I hope now that it's on the agenda again, it won't get put off again. We do currently have an employee that is living in an RV at Halls, and nothing against Halls, it's a great place, but it's not ideal. It's noisy in the mornings they have construction workers that start their trucks early in the morning and let the diesel trucks run for 15, 20 minutes. She can't, you know, obviously waking her up. There's a lot of activity at the gas station, so it's motion just going on all the time. It'd be much nicer if she could be on the lodge grounds somewhere where it's a little more peaceful. So again, I'm hoping that this won't get put off again and that we'll be able to move forward and get some decisions made. Thanks.
Anyone else? Fanning his hands on Zoom, do you, Jeff? All right. Okay, public comments are closed then. Next is the update from the PC. Nancy, are you online?
I am online. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. So I just thought I'd update you on, we've had two meetings since your last town council meeting, and we have a joint meeting coming up at the end of July. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, but I wanted to update you on what we've been doing and just give you some insight on some of the topics that seem to be issues. Unfortunately, as we go through this, our future list of work items seems to get longer every meeting we have. Some of it has to do with code changes that we know we're going to need to make that will support the subdivision code or won't conflict. They currently will conflict with the new subdivision code. One of the things I wanted to point out, I know you have fees, application fees on your agenda tonight. One of the topics that we had hoped to give you some advice on is what the fees might be for some of the subdivision applications. And the reason for this is there's a new, the Administrative Land Use Authority is a new entity that the state law requires that we create. And the suggestion that we are making is that that include the zoning administrator, a consultant, and a planning commission member. And that's going to entail some costs to have a consultant as part of that. And we also think that we had a discussion about compensating whoever from the Planning Commission sits on that, because obviously the other two participants of the ALUA will be paid. The zoning administrator gets paid for her time and the consultant will be. So there will be a fee that I think for a subdivision application that's likely to be higher than what I saw you had in your list. So just an FYI that, you know, that's an example of the kinds of things that we're running across as we make the changes in the subdivision code. I can't tell you what a dollar amount is yet. We don't know how difficult it will be for an ALUA to meet and what it will take to review a subdivision application, but just that's for your information for future consideration. Our current work has, we've done all the normal things, the reviewed concept plans and Ray's CUP amendment and had the PEDPATH presentation, which I think you were going to have tonight. I really appreciated the work that that committee did, but mostly we've been working on the subdivision code. And some of the areas where we are going to need some input, I think, from you all. And again, these may be topics at our joint meeting. The access standards and roads, so access to lots as part of subdivisions. John and Michael have done some good work to come up with some preliminary language that we plan to incorporate, but it will need some review and discussion. John has also put together a draft infrastructure design standards that we're going to review at our next meeting, which talks about everything from how do you build a road to what do you have to do in terms of water or other components of infrastructure that will support lots in a subdivision. Minor lot subdivisions is a topic that we spent some time thinking about and what this really means, how many lots would make it minor. You are exempt from some things if you use a minor lot subdivision approach. But it turns out we discovered at the last minute, at the last meeting, that if you are already part of a subdivision, which if you look at the parcels in Boulder, many, many are already identified as being part of a subdivision, you can't use a minor lot subdivision. You have to do a subdivision amendment. So it adds a layer of just additional thinking that we actually hadn't been considering in the code we'd been reviewing. Lot size averaging, which I pointed out the last time I talked to you, we discovered an issue with it when someone made a proposal. And we have been working on that. We've got some new language. I think it's much better and much clearer. It will get incorporated into the subdivision code as an option. And we will suggest repealing what we currently have in our zoning ordinance. So that's a change, sort of a subsequent change we'll have to make, or a concurrent change we'll have to make. The one issue that we're facing with lot size averaging is, given the intent is to do some clustering and keep some open space and some ag space, how do you preserve that open space and ag space so it isn't developed down the road? And that's a question. Some of our current code says the town council will approve open space designations and require a town council signature on a plat sign off. we have to look at that. I'm not sure that's allowed under the current, the way the current state law has been constructed. So there's a little more work to do on lot size averaging. And then the last thing is some of the things, and I think I mentioned this last time, that are included in the subdivision code, like the appeals process and penalties, and even the definitions. It, now Michael and I had a discussion about this. It would seem to make more sense to have things like that in our administrative code that overrides or sits on top of all of the other code sections that we have. So that's another topic that we will discuss, I think, at our joint meeting, just some of these things and how do we deal with them and should we pursue them in the Planning Commission when it isn't necessarily explicitly a land use thing? Or is that something that you need to take on as a town council in addressing some of those code changes? As I said, the next, our second meeting in July, so our next meeting is next week, and we're going to at that have a further discussion on some of the topics we think it would be helpful to have a joint discussion on when on July 25th, we have a joint meeting with you all. So we'd like to come up with a list of some topics that the Planning Commission would like to discuss with you. And we would hope that you all would come up with a list beforehand of some of the topics that you as a town council would like to discuss with the Planning Commission, whether that's setting priorities for us or, you know, whether it's just things that you have questions on that jointly we should discuss. And I'd like to offer to work with whoever you want to designate, whether it's John or the mayor, to put together an agenda for that July 25th meeting. So that's just a suggestion to you to think a little bit about that. And depending on where we end up at our next meeting next week, and then after the July meeting, we do plan to try to hold a public hearing on the subdivision ordinance in August, whether it's our first meeting or our second meeting, but and then still stay on track to get this ordinance to you in September. So that's what I have.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Nancy. Good job. All right. Next is our executive session for the town clerk position, but we have, is Shannon here? She online or Josh, do you know?
Mm-mm. She's not going to come because remember she sent that letter. So you can announce that.
So
she rescinded her application.
She did resend it. Oh, mm-hmm. When you said that, I thought you said she rescinded.
Oh, she rescinded. No, she rescinded.
Okay.
She rescinded her application.
Very good. Well, we won't worry about that, but I still think that we need the executive session because we're going to have to talk about Jessica's wages and we need to know what we're going to do and we need input. So we will not do any voting, or we will also let the public know what's going on when we're finished. That I would like to go into an executive session because there's certain things that we need to talk about that we can't hear.
Okay, I move we close the, or we recess the business meeting and go into executive session.
Gladys will second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye. Ray, aye.
Judy, aye. Okay.
So Jessica, you're going to create a Zoom meeting in your office. Is that the deal? Right? On my Zoom.
Right?
What's that? Sorry.
You created it. I'm joining it.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll hop off. Thank you.
Okay.